hope I never get over what God's done for me. Hallelujah. I hope I don't ever forget it. And may I tell it wherever I go. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day that I got saved. Amen. I was on church pew, but thank God for salvation. I didn't get saved in church. I got saved in the woods. And man, but I'm thankful that God saved people off the church pews. Amen. Hallelujah. And it may not encourage you that He saves people off church pews, but it sure encourages me. And it encourages me that God saves them in the highways and in the hedges and on visitation. And man, aren't you glad God saves sinners? Amen. I mean, aren't you glad that He took an interest in you? Amen. Where would we be today? I'll tell you where we'd be. We'd be lost without hope. But thank God today for salvation. Amen. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You know what message we have to the lost and the dying world? All those that's riding up and down the roads tonight that's not in the house of God, those that don't even acknowledge there is a God, you know what message we have for them tonight? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. Man, what a story we have to tell. If you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter number 14, we'll pick back up reading there tonight. Lord being our helper. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Amen. It's what Jonathan told his armor bearer. He said, come on, let's go. You know, sometimes all somebody else needs is a little bit of encouragement. And God help us in this coming days that we're living in. Caleb, as you go out, son, would you bring my water out of the little church office there? I left it, bud. And sometimes may God help us, as I said, and sometimes as we go into this year, sometimes all somebody else needs is a little bit of encouragement. Sometimes all somebody else needs is somebody say, hey, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. You don't know what's waiting on the other side, but come on, let's go. Let's look here in 1 Samuel chapter number 14. I'll pick back up reading in verse number 1. I'm not going to read all of it. We're going to go to verse number 1, and we're going to skip to verse number 12, and we're going to read down to about verse number 24, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. I'll be brief tonight. Lord being our helper, but I do want to help you. I do want the Word of God to help you. I don't want to leave us hanging between a rock and a hard place. The Lord helped us this morning, I hope. He really encouraged me, and I could see Him working in some of your hearts and in your lives. And I pray this morning that you got the point that you don't have to stay in a rock between a rock and a hard place. There's victory in this life. So often, we want to wait till we get to heaven to have the victorious life and enjoy the blessings of God. But I have good news for you. We are living in victory today. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a victorious life here on this earth. Hey, we're not caught up in the bondage of sin any longer. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I mean, man, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Why? Because Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I mean, man, look at what all God's done for us and what God's brought us out of and what God's brought us through. And I mean, even in these last days that we've lived in, the last year, look how God has blessed our lives and how God's manifested Himself in our lives. I thought about this afternoon all the good things God's done for us. And I sit over there and I look at Miss Leslie. And man, I rejoice today at what God's done in her heart and in her life. And I looked over here at Miss Gay, and I'm thankful that, man, it was about a year ago, man, we was wondering whether or not what God was going to do, and man, we prayed around the clock and how that God intervened in her life, and man, God didn't allow her to die, but here she is sitting here a year later, man, you know what? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I got good news. We don't have to live defeated in this life, folks. We serve a God that is interested in our salvation. That's what the Bible says. Look in verse 23. So the Lord saved Israel that day. Boy, aren't you glad he's still in the saving business? Aren't you glad that he, and I'm just not talking about salvation from hell and from the penalty of sin. I'm talking about salvation from our problems and salvation from our enemies. Man, I'm glad that it wasn't just a salvation out of the devil's hell. I'm glad that he's still saving me today. What do you mean? I still mess up. I still get myself in situations that I can't get out of. I'm like Peter. I say, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And I step out of that boat on that water and I take about two steps and then I think, I done messed up now. Right? And I begin to sink and I say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Boy, aren't you glad that God still saves? Amen. Come on, let's go. Verse number one, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Verse number 12, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan in his armor and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was a trembling in the host in the field among the people, the garrison and the spoilers, and they all so trembled. And the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Samuel unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And let me say this right here. Sometimes we might all take a number and see who's gone. And I'm not talking about from the standpoint of just to see who's doing something. Sometimes we all might all take a count and look around and say, hey, there's somebody that we need to go get. Sometimes we let people fall by the wayside and fall in the cracks, and you know what? They just found themselves in a rotten hard place. And they need somebody to help go get them out. That's not my message, but anyway, I'll throw that in there with you. And Saul said unto Ahab, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be of the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they had heard the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. And the men of Israel distressed that day, for Saul had adjured them people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all day that of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the honey, and when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you, God, for the privilege, God, that you give us, Lord, to pastor this church. Thank you, God, for the gift, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, the opportunity to preach before this people tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd touch my mouth, my lips. I pray that my speaking and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but God, in the demonstration of power. Lord, I pray as it goes out over, Lord, the technology waves. Lord, I pray that you would use it. God, this evening. Lord, we love you, and Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen. Come on, let's go. You understand, before you're going to get out of your current condition, you're going to have to get tired of the current condition that you're in. You ever thought about that? So often we find ourselves discouraged in our way, but we never do nothing to change our way. Amen. So Jonathan here got himself in a mess, and We see here that even before he found himself between a rock and a hard place, he'd made a decision. He said, hey, come on, let's go over to the garrison of the Philistine. May I say unto you tonight, maybe it's time that you and I make some decisions in our life, and maybe even as this coming year of 2019 is upon us, maybe we won't make the same mistakes that we made last year, but even if we're living in those mistakes, maybe we'd have an attitude of, come on, let's go, I'm tired of living a defeated life when I have victory in Jesus. Amen? There's a decision that you and I are going to have to make in our lives. Nobody else can make it for us. So often we want to see people's lives change and we want to see people's hearts change, but you do understand this, they're the only one that can make that decision. We can't force it on them. We can't coerce them into it. And may I say unto you, sometimes the more we push and the more we coerce and the more we try to get them to change, sometimes the harder it makes them. May I say unto you, they may be one just sitting in here tonight, or they may be one with you. Maybe one of your acquaintances at work, or maybe somebody in your family. And maybe they don't need coercing. Maybe they don't need pushing. Maybe they need some encouragement. Say, come on, let's go. What that means is I'm going to go with you. I'm not trying to push you. I'm not trying to take you somewhere or send you somewhere. I'm wanting to go with you. But may I say unto you tonight, may God help us all to realize in our lives that sometimes when we make choices and decisions, not only that maybe we ought to help somebody else, but I'm telling you tonight, I have wasted a lot of years of my life living in defeat, wanting to get out of it. How about it? Anybody else? You know what? Sometimes we just need somebody to say, come on, let's go. Most of all, I want you to see the decision. First of all, the decision that has to be made. May I say unto you tonight, when you make that decision, I want you to understand there's going to be some discouragements along the way. Notice here in verse number 4, as we preached this morning, where'd they find themselves? Between the rock and the hard place. I mean, before they ever got to the rock and the hard place, they'd made a decision. Say, come on, let's go. Hey, let's go over to the garrisons of the Philistines. And they got there and they found themselves between the rock and the hard place. May I say unto you, just because you make the decision to go, just because you and I make some decisions to make some changes in our life, doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. The Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier. I don't understand why the Christian life's so hard. I was sharing that with somebody this week. I don't understand. We was counseling somebody there in our home Thursday night, a couple, and as we was counseling them, and I said, you know, it's a whole lot easier to live your life when you're out in sin. Anybody remember that? It's a whole lot easier. I didn't say it's a whole lot more joyous. I didn't say that it wasn't a whole lot more heartaches. I said it's a whole lot easier. They wasn't that struggle, that flesh and that spirit. There wasn't that struggle within us. But understand this, I want you to notice sometimes the discouragement is this, you're going to find yourself between the rock and the hard place when you try to make a decision and go forward. Not only that, but I want you to look in verse number 12. And the men of the garrison after Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll show you a thing. I want you to know this, the Philistines is going to taunt you. I mean, here Jonathan and this armor bearer had said they just made that decision to go up. They'd found themselves between the rock and hard place. And Jonathan, they'd thrown out, they had presented themselves to them. And this was the words back when the Philistines said, hey, you just come on up and let me show you a thing or two. I'll show you who you are. Boy, is that not how the enemy comes into our life? Man, we make a decision. We start ready to move before God. And the enemy will come rear his head up and he'll say, come on, I'll show you what you're made of. And so often in our life, before we ever get to moving, I mean, man, they ain't even left the rock in the hard place yet. And before we ever get to moving, we're done listening to the lies of the enemy. We're so scared of what's going to happen. The enemy there will taunt us. The Philistine, notice the place. Notice the taunting of the Philistine. And may I say unto you tonight, your faith in the Lord's word will have to have more power and more influence in your life than the taunts of the enemy that you hear in your mind. Are you listening to me? Your faith in the word of God and in God Himself will have to be more than the words that you hear in your mind of the enemy. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I know the mind games. And man, my mind, and man, I don't know if there's a white angel and a red, red devil. I know that I'm not demon possessed because I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, but I do know this, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. I don't understand where these thoughts come from, but I'll be honest with you, sometimes my thoughts override my faith. I'm taunted by the enemy. And if we're going to move forward and we're going to have victory, we're going to have to let our faith stand in what God says instead of what the enemy says. Not only that, I want us to not... I'm talking about how hard it is sometimes in the discouragements of life when we get ready to make that decision to come on, let's go. Notice the point of victory. Look at verse number 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. You understand that it wasn't there sitting beside him. And I talked about some perseverance this morning. But Brother Wesley, it wasn't just in hand's reach. It was at the top. They had to climb to get there. And so often, you and I, we get to that point in life and we make that decision. Come on, let's go. I'm tired of living in defeat. I'm tired of letting the enemy have his right of way in my life. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to trust the Lord. And as soon as we get started moving, the enemy begins to taunt us. And then it begins to get rough. We have to put forth some effort. We have to climb. You know the Bible says striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know the Bible says, as I already said this one time, endure hardness as a good soldier. You know the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You realize tonight the Christian life is not easy. It's not easy. It's not a cakewalk. It's not a walk in the park. It's not the flower beds. It's not the name it, claim it, that the TV evangelists preach. Beloved, it is a work and it is a strive, but I want you to understand the victory that's waiting you and I is worth the battles that we face and worth the effort that we have to put forth. Not only that, I want you to notice this. Look in verses 13 through 15. And Jonathan climbed up upon his feet and upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. I want you to see the divine intervention. Do you understand? And I know it's not scriptural, but I had Miss Bonnell Satterfield, and some of you probably know Bonnell Satterfield, Preacher Ralph Satterfield's wife. She was kind of babysitting me some because her... Louise's mama, y'all know if you know her, you know the story or the history. But mama always said this. She said, the Lord helps those who help themselves. And that was her thing. She said, the Lord helps those who help themselves. And I don't have a scripture to back that up, but I do have some context to back that up. And so often we want God to do everything. We want God just to pour it out upon us. And I know He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and see if I not open up the windows of heaven and pour ye out a blessing whereby there be room enough to receive it. I know that we're to be still and know that I'm God. And I know that He can send in the whale and He can send the fire and He can send the flood. I know that He can do all that. But understand this, sometimes God wants us to move forward, and sometimes God wants us to put forth some effort because He really wants to see if we're really serious about this thing of serving Him. And notice this, as Jonathan and his armor bearer climbed up to the top, before they ever got to the top, may I say unto you, God was already there. And thank God for the times in my life that, beloved, before I ever got to the top of the climb, that God was already working in my life. There was some divine intervention. When they got there, notice this, they were the failing before Jonathan. That's what the Bible says. They fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. Not only this, notice in verse 15, and there was trembling in the host of the field. There was fear and trembling among this great multitude of the Philistines. Notice this, look in verse number 15, and the earth quaked. The foundations of the earth was shaken. And then look in verse number 20. And Saul and all the people that were with them ascended themselves, and they came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. They were fighting amongst themselves. And all Jonathan and all his armor bearer had to do was say, come on, let's go. They climbed to the top, and when they got to the top, God was already at work. Mm-hmm. And how often in my life I've sat at the bottom. Because I say, well, it's just too hard. And you know, what amazes me is there was only one sword in this battle. On the Lord's side, it was the one Jonathan had. Because you go back to chapter number 13. No, the Bible said that the only one that had a sword was Saul and Jonathan. There wasn't another sword found in the hand of Israel. So we see that when we see that they turn one to another with their swords, we know that the Philistines begin fighting amongst themselves. And you know that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise? Do you know that God can do what He wants to do in your problems and in your situation? As I said it this morning, unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think. I mean, man, all they had to do was climb to the top. And God was already at work. Not only the divine intervention, but look in verses 21 and 22. There's some deliverance of others. Look at this. Moreover, verse 21, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines. You realize some had already joined up with the Philistines. You ever realize that? They said, well, if we can't beat them, join them. And that's what they had done. But when they seen Jonathan, and they'd seen this armor bearer, and they'd seen what God was doing, and how God was working because two young men said, come on, let's go. We're going to trust in God. You know what happened to them? They said, hey, I remember I served Him one time. I remember how good it was when I served God. I remember how good it was to be under the blessings of God. And hey, I think I'll just join in the fight now. I wonder how many used to darken the doors of the church that all they need is to see somebody. Say, hey, come on, let's go. Maybe they joined the other side. And yeah, so often in our lives, we get critical about them joining the other side. But maybe they just need somebody that's real, and maybe they just need somebody fighting for them. You ever thought about that? Where would you be if somebody hadn't encouraged you along? Come on, let's go. The deliverance of others. Notice this as we keep on reading. Moreover, the Philistines that were with them, which went up from the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be of the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in the Mount Ephraim, when they had heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. It wasn't just them that had joined the other side, but it was them that was in hiding because of fear and because two young men said, come on, let's go. The whole nation direction had changed. And I wonder sometimes in our life how many people we would have an effect on if we just followed the Lord fully. I wonder how many people's out there is hurting in our lives that we know and we could have an influence on if we just say, come on, let's go. Not only the deliverance of others, I want you to see the defeat of the enemy. Look in verse 23. So the Lord saved Israel that day. May I say unto you, salvation is still of the Lord. Salvation is still of the Lord. Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Understand today that if salvation comes in your situation, it's not going to be because of what you've done. It's going to be because how God has intervened. But it doesn't change the fact that you're going to have to make a decision. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. And you're going to have to climb up. But salvation is of the Lord. Boy, wouldn't you like for God to intervene in your situation right now? I mean, think about it. I mean, how many of us in here tonight, if we was really honest with God, and maybe we're not as tied and in a battle way as the rock and the hard place as Jonathan and his armor bearer was, and maybe we're not sitting over there under the pomegranate tree moping in ourselves, but maybe we're just finding ourselves in a situation that we really need God to do something in our lives. You know what my job is at your pastor, as your pastor? Come on, let's go. You know what your job is to me? Come on, let's go. That's called exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Man, every one of us in here has got a situation that we wish God would do something in our hearts and in our lives and in our families. And we want it, but do we really want it? Not only the defeat of the enemy, but I want you to notice this. I'm talking about what's waiting on top of the hill up here, okay? I'm talking about waiting on the climb. Remember, they had to climb to the top. And when they got to the top, I'm just sharing with you the things that happened after they climbed to the top. I understand that's all they had to do. They had to make a decision that they was going to go. And then once they climbed to the top, the Lord was already at work. And we can see what He had done. There was a divine intervention. There was deliverance of others. There was defeat of the enemy. But look at this verse. Look in verse number 25. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. The dropping of the honey. And may I say unto you, I love honey. Sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb. You can ask my wife, I love my honey. Every morning I eat my honey, okay? No matter what I eat my honey in the morning. Not the Reverend saying, he does too. Probably why we got such good complexion and such sweet faces. The honey. Man, there was so much honey in this land. Bible says that it was dropping from the trees on the ground. Man, could you imagine that honey? I mean, could you imagine the sweetness there of the sustenance that God was providing? He had just provided a great victory. They had seen God run the enemy out. They had seen God discomfit the enemy. They had seen others join into the battle. And beloved, they got to the land and God began to give them nourishment. Honey. Not cucumbers. Not garlic, not squash, not green beans, but honey. Good, sweet stuff. Who don't like honey in here? I'm going to pray for you. Anybody? Oh, no, I'm going to pray for you. Y'all probably like corn syrup. Honey. You know what that honey was? It was a reminder of the promise of God. Does anybody remember what He told the children of Israel? He said, I'll take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It was a reminder of the promise of God in their life. I mean, man, God just didn't give them a victory and God just didn't give them victuals, but God gave them something in their life that they could count on and they could rely on. He said, hey, I want you to remember the goodness that I promised you in your life. It was a reminder of the promise, but then it was also a reminder of the provider because we know that He is the Creator and He's the one that caused the honey to flow. I'm talking about the dropping of the honey. Now, I'll be closing with this. Now listen to me. That's all the good stuff. But I want to show you something. There's dangers of others in this way. Now let's look at something right quick and I'll be done. Look in verses 18 and 20. And Saul said unto Ahi, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass while Saul talked to the priests that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with them assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great discomfiture. I want you to understand, you know, everybody listening, in this journey of Christianity that you're on, and when you decide to say, come on, let's go, there's got to be more to this than this valley I'm living in. There's victory on top of this mountain. You're going to come across a lot of people, and all they're going to be doing, some will just be onlookers. Are you listening to me? It never says here they got involved in the battle. It just says they watched. Some of them in your life is just going to be onlookers. You know what they're really watching for? They're really not watching for God to do something. They're really waiting for you to fail. They're waiting for you to fail. And I'm warning you tonight, beware of the onlookers. Look in verse number 19. Not only some will just be onlookers, some will be seeking the Lord falsely. And Saul said, verse 18, and Saul said unto Ahi, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass that while Saul talked to the priests, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. Saul had come out from the pomegranate tree. He got the priest. He was fixing to seek God in direction. He heard the noise abroad, and he said, just wait. Let's see what's going on. You know what that reminded me of in a verse of Scripture? Having the form of godliness, but nigh in the power thereof. There's some that you're going to come across in this, and all they're going to be doing is they're going to have the form of it, but they're not going to be seeking the same direction. They're not going to be seeking victory. Saul was not seeking what was best for the country still. And man, so often in our lives, when we find ourselves in a situation and we begin to seek God and we begin to hear a stirring, what's the first thing we do? We back off. What's the first thing we do in our lives when things begin to get good? We quit praying. What's the first things in our lives when we begin to do, when things begin to get even better? We quit reading our Bible. We quit depending upon the things of God. We begin to put off the things of God. We begin to make haste to see all that God is doing. But yet our personal relationship with Him and our personal walk is left to the side. And I say that to say this, some will be seeking the Lord falsely. But look in verse 24, and this is what's saying. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Some will still be living in defeat. Are you listening to me? You know what's wrong with most Christians today? You want to know why we have such sour attitudes? It's because most of us is living in defeat. Saul was still living in the past. You say, how do you know he was still living in defeat? Because I'm going to show you right here. Verse 24, he didn't want anybody else to succeed. Notice this, what he said. He said, he adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food. He didn't want them to succeed. He didn't want them to have nourishment. He said, you can't eat of that. Don't eat it. I don't want you to live. I don't want you to have success in life. I don't want to see you have the goodness of God in your life. I don't want you to enjoy the blessings of God. Well, have you ever come across people like that? You know why? They're still living in defeat. Not only that, they didn't want anyone else to succeed. They can't see what the Lord has supplied. Look in verse 25. And all the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. Here the king, all of his men were starting. Remember, they had been living and hiding in caves, and the Philistines was spoiling their farms and spoiling their land. They had nothing to eat. And Saul said, don't touch it. You can't have it. I mean, it's laying all around. He didn't want them to succeed. But yet, Wesley, he couldn't see that it was a blessing of the Lord. He couldn't see that God was providing. And so often in our lives, when we live in defeat, we don't want others to succeed, and we can't even see the blessings that God's providing for us in our own life. And then you know what happens when we see God bless somebody else? You know what happens to us? We get jealous. We're jealous. Well, I don't know why the Lord blesses them and don't bless me. Maybe because we're still living in defeat. Because I'm going to show you something right here, and I'm closing. What was Saul's problem? Just like me and you, he was only interested in his own self-righteousness. Look at what he said in verse 24. Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening. Why? That I may be avenged of mine enemies. That I may be avenged of mine enemies. That I may have the self-satisfaction that mine enemies have been destroyed. He couldn't see that the Lord had done saved Israel. I mean, it just said in the previous verse, the Lord saved Israel that day. But all he could think about was the vengeance that he had in his heart. And he said, if I'm not happy, ain't nobody around me going to be happy, and there ain't nobody around me enjoying the blessings of God, and there ain't nobody around me enjoying the fruits of God, and until I get avenged, until I get self-satisfaction in my life, everybody else can suffer. And you'll see as we go through this study of Saul, that's how he lived the rest of his life. God help me. God help me that I would be so selfish in my life that I wouldn't want others to enjoy the blessings that God's provided for them. And that I'd be so selfish in my life and live in such defeat that, Mr. Ray, I couldn't see that there was honey falling from the trees. And we'll see as we go through this, we'll see because of Saul's decision here. Man, he led the people into, they defiled themselves. You'll find that they, when they came to the place and there was cattle and lambs, they went in and tore the flesh off of them and eat them raw. Because one man said, you're not going to enjoy victory till I have vengeance, until I get self-satisfaction that I have been avenged of mine enemies. Man, what bitterness. What sadness. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Come on, let's go. There's a great victory at the top. Man, the Lord's going to do greater things than you and I could even imagine. Come on, let's go. There's a land that's honey is dropping from the trees. It's just all over the ground. Come on, let's go, because salvation is still of the Lord. But here's the danger. There's going to be many that don't want you to succeed. And it's going to take you to exerting some strength to get there. But there is victory in your life if you want it. My concern is this: how many of us really wants the victories that God has for us? I want Miss Evelyn to come. May God help me not to be a Saul. May God help me not to be a despiser of those that are trying to do something for the Lord. God help me not to be a despiser of the Lord when He's doing something in somebody else's life and be jealous about it. Be vindictive about it. I've caught myself many times in that position. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. And I'm saying, God, why are you using them? God, why are you blessing them? And why would I have any reservation? Why would I have any discouragement? Why would I have any jealousy in my body for God blessing you and God giving you victory and God doing things for you? Why would I feel that way? Because I'm living in defeat myself. As we're standing, this altar's open.